My name is Bill Meyer. I'm 49 years old. Today is December 7th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Chris, who is my new friend. We're recording this interview in San Francisco, California. So tell me about a teacher who was particularly influential for you growing up.
The first person who comes to mind was my sixth grade literature teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why I teach middle school. He was the first one who showed me that classroom lessons didn't need to be lectures or strictly teachers talking and students taking notes, or there was this group dynamic to it. And he really showed me that experiences can teach.
Mm-hmm.
So a particular memory of mine with him is that he, to show us what perspective was like and how it could inform a newspaper article, he had previously arranged with a student to have this kind of like explosive moment in class. And I remember how fast my heart rate was beating because he had at one point like taken a yardstick and like slammed it on the desk, and the kid screamed and ran out of the room, and everyone was just like shocked. And moments later, the kid came back in and they were like cracking up, and the teacher started laughing. And he said, "Okay, so now we're gonna write a newspaper article about what was your take on this moment that we just had." And it was just a cool way to introduce that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it because everyone I just felt like I'd never seen anyone yell that loud, and I'd never seen a kid like be so defiant. And to learn that it was all planned made it just kind of so funny for everyone later.
Was this an unusual kind of incident?
Oh, yeah. He was very even-keeled all the time. Yeah. The kid was usually a troublemaker, but like never like that. So everyone kind of saw it coming and was like, is he going to stop? I can't believe he's pushing the teacher so far today. And then to find out it was all previously arranged made it funny, and then really showed us like, oh, this was our teacher's thinking about what we're doing. You know,
wow.
He had a method to get us to never forget that lesson. So that was surprising. And I've always wanted to recreate it, but I don't know if I have it in me.
Right. There's a risk there. Did anybody feel, or any of the other students in the room, really kind of upset?
I don't know. I mean, when I thought about it in my grad school, because the same question had been asked to me, of what was a kind of like defining moment in your middle school years?
Yeah.
That one always comes up to me, and everyone said, well, wasn't anyone traumatized? And I was like, maybe. Like, there might have been people who like didn't want to go to school the next day to see the teacher. But I think beyond that, what he did was, he was able to have fun with his lessons and have fun with us, but he held us to a really high standard. And I remember knowing that I was having fun in his class and I wasn't getting an A, and I didn't care about the A because I knew the grade wasn't really what was important, and I knew he wanted more than a letter grade from me. But I do remember when I finally got an A and how important that was.
Yeah.
Because he made me work for it.
Yeah. Interesting. How do you carry that principle into your classroom now?
Well, I don't throw rulers at students or anything like that. But I think something I try to emulate, I guess, when I teach is for my students to see me as a resource in more ways than just academics. I want them to see me as a mentor, and I don't like to use the word friend, but I want them to know that they can confide in me and I can trust them in more than just class. But I think a real huge lesson that I have them walk away with in my class is learning how to navigate fun and productivity. I'm really sarcastic and dry in class. I love to have fun, but the minute we have to do work, I turn it off. And I think they see that shift, and it's a dramatic one. They know when I mean business. And I know for a lot of them it's challenging because they want to joke with me and they don't know how to stop. So I know that I kind of toe that line with a lot of them. But I think it's always worth it in the end because they like I did with my teacher, they see that I want to have fun, but I also have a high standard for what we're there to do.
Yeah.
And we're there to learn and become better students and people.
How explicit do you have to be with them about where the line is?
I mean, it differs. With the kids who push it, I have to kind of have chats with them later, or it shows up in their narrative of, like, we write progress reports, and it'll show up as, you know, needs to learn when to cut it out and get to work. But I do take some ownership on that. I know part of it is me setting that example a little bit, because I do it.
Right.
But I know that that, in the end, I think they're going to get why I do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure. What, I mean, when you think to, you know, back, you know, you're sending kids on to high school and, you know, out into the world as hopefully non-feral children, what's the most important, whether it's a value, whether it's a, what's the most important takeaway you want kids to leave working with you, understanding?
I think it's interesting because that answer has changed over my time as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the beginning, I wanted them to be thinking I was a cool teacher and that we had fun, you know? But it's definitely, I've definitely realized that that doesn't even matter if I'm a cool teacher, you know, and they don't care in the end. Like, that doesn't matter. They care that I am there to challenge them and also motivate them to be on both sides, to be the person who's, you know, dangling the carrot and also the one with the reins. Like, I'm both people.
Yeah.
I think in the end, what I want them to feel good about, and this is something new for me, is that they don't know everything. I think I had a lot of teachers who would pretend that they were the source of all information. And I noticed as a teacher, kids just see through it. And I hope that they see how often I say, I don't know.
Was there a moment when you, was there an epiphany or a particular experience that led you to the, oh, it doesn't really matter whether they think I'm a cool guy or whether I know it all?
Yeah, I think it was through watching other teachers and seeing the way that they would respond when teachers tried to have those facades. So the teacher who claims to know everything or has an answer for everything, or the teacher who just wants to be the cool guy or the cool girl. Seeing how quickly that deteriorated and those kids just played the game. They're middle schoolers, you know, and they're astute observers. And I think they see right through that. And that took me a little bit to learn, because I was definitely trying to be those people at the beginning. But I didn't want them, I think I got tired of, like, having to have that charade and then have them call my bluff all the time. And it's like, it's not worth it. It's more important that I show them that I don't know everything, and that's okay. And they don't know everything either, and that's fine. Like, ask questions.
To what extent has the internet in the classroom changed that dynamic in terms of the knowing everything and feeling like, you know, since you can just look it up?
Yeah, part of it is that was what kept getting my bluff called.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I just looked it up, and that's not what you said. And you're like, oh, great. Yeah. And then part of it is actually when students ask me questions and I say, I don't know, and I'm like, you are allowed to look that up. Like, let's look things up. Be a researcher. Ask questions. Go on the internet. And I don't think it's the worst thing to say, like, hey, just go Google it. Like, that is a resource. You need to learn how to, you know, sift through what's information there and what's not and what's reliable. I think that's been a big learning lesson in technology overall, is knowing how to use the resources that are just at their fingertips in the right way.
Is there a proudest moment from your career you can think
so far? I think the proud moments are the ones that take a couple of years to come back to me. I'll hear from a parent, or I'll run into a parent on the street, and they'll say, like, oh, my kid still talks about X, Y, and Z lesson due to it, or I'll get an email from a student, you know, years that I taught years ago, or see them working somewhere. and they remember something, or they're excited to see me and they want to say hi,
mm-hmm.
you know. Those relationships that last longer than they're in my classroom, I think those are my proudest moments.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think I had little proud moments throughout the year of successes mm-hmm. with students, but what really like keeps me going is when you get that unexpected
mm-hmm.
letter from another teacher at another school who's like, a student wrote an essay about you. You're like, I haven't thought about that kid in years. And, you know, they thought about you for 6 years. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So things like that, I think.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It's okay, but I freelance.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Painless.
Well, and you know, if the idea is to shoot for, you know, 10 minutes or so.
Sure.